From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Diane Maggiapinto. Utah Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox has won the Republican primary for governor, according to the Associated Press. KUER's Emily Means has an update on election results.
Cox defeated former Utah Governor John Huntsman by more than 9,000 votes. He tweeted that Huntsman called him to concede shortly after the AP's announcement. The lieutenant governor will go on to face Democrat Chris Peterson in the November general election. In the race for attorney general, Utah's current AG, Sean Reyes, will be on the November ballot against Democrat Greg Skordis, after holding a 40,000-vote lead against Utah County Attorney David Levitt. And political newcomer Blake Moore will be the Republican nominee for Utah's 1st Congressional District, aiming for Congressman Rob Bishop's soon-to-be-vacant seat. On the Democratic side, Darren Perry leads Jamie Cheek by 424 votes. Emily Means, KUER News.
Two companies in Utah County that were accused of creating COVID-19 hotspots benefited from the federal $600 billion-plus coronavirus aid program. The data released yesterday shows Built Brands, LLC, and Wasatch Trust, Inc. both received loans under the Small Business Administration's Paycheck Protection Program for a range of $1 to $2 million. More than 50,000 businesses and nonprofits in Utah got loans, totaling at least $3.9 billion. Built Brands confirmed yesterday it received the loan but shared no other information about how the company used the money. Wasatch Trust has not commented. Plans are moving forward to tackle traffic on one of Utah's most crowded ski roads, Little Cottonwood Canyon. KUER's John Reed reports the public comment period for the proposals ends this week.
Utah's Department of Transportation wants the public's opinion on three options, which include increasing bus service, adding a dedicated bus lane, or building a gondola. Project Manager Josh Van Jura says those plans were whittled down from over 100 and have the best chance of reducing traffic at the least expense to taxpayers and the environment. He says so far, they've gotten more than 3,000 comments.
There's a lot of passionate people about the canyon, right? Whether that be recreation or conservation, and that's absolutely what we're trying to do, is find a balance in all of these alternatives.
The gondola is the second most expensive option to build, but it could carry the most people. It also wouldn't require adding more buses or expanding the road, which is part of the reason Tom Carter from the Utah Clean Air Partnership says it seems like the best option.
A gondola is electric powered, and so it's offset, or it has different emissions load that's not going to be here in the valley or even on the mountain.
The actual impacts of each proposal won't be known until further environmental studies are done. UDOT will decide what option to move forward with by next spring. John Reed, KUER News.
Wyoming officials likely will bid on 5 million acres of land that stretch from Utah's border to its west and southeast to Colorado, being sold by Occidental Petroleum. The swath is a checkerboard of private land and mineral rights. After a public meeting last night, the State Loan and Investment Board authorized Wyoming leaders to place a bid on the parcel by the deadline tomorrow. Online participants in the live-streamed meeting asked why the state should spend $1 billion or more on the property while facing deficits, and also criticized the secrecy around the deal. The Casper Star Tribune reports that the meeting was the first ever public hearing on a proposal to use an unknown amount of money from the state's Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. The National Trust has accepted Salt Lake City's Gilgal Sculpture Garden to its Distinctive Destinations program that highlights sites across the country that illustrate American history and culture. The Gilgal Sculpture Garden is the first in Utah to be added to the list. The park near 7th East and 5th South contains sculptures, engravings, and landscaping that represent the spiritual quest of the artist Thomas Battersby Child. He began building the garden in 1945 in his backyard. It became a public park in the year 2000. The U.S. military could gain control over a huge swath of land in the region, but as the Mountain West News Bureau's Noah Glick reports, that comes at the expense of the largest wildlife refuge in the lower 48.
The Nevada Test and Training Range encompasses 2.9 million acres of military training land, but it has to share control of much of that area with the Desert National Wildlife Refuge. But an amendment passed last week by the House Armed Services Committee would give the U.S. Air Force sole control over the nearly 850,000 shared acres. Democratic Nevada Senator Jackie Rosen says this proposal was rushed through without proper outreach to affected communities.
We don't feel that's been done. This amendment was slipped in at the 11th hour, and we want the chance to have all the parties have the discussion, come to the table, and decide what the right path forward is.
The Desert National Wildlife Refuge is under the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and has been largely managed as a wilderness area since 1971. However, the Air Force says that designation restricts its training activities. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Noah Glick.
And I'm Diane Maggio Pinto, KUER News.